Please open your Bibles to Obadiah. We have spent the last couple of weeks looking at this little book, the Old Testament, little book with a big, big message. And we come to the conclusion now this morning. Obadiah, we'll look at verses 17 to 21. Once you've found your place and your copy of Scripture, would you please stand for the reading of our sermon text today? This is the word of the Lord. Obadiah, beginning in verse 17. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy. And Jacob will possess his inheritance. Jacob will be a fire and Joseph a flame. Esau will be stubble and they will set him on fire and destroy him. There will be no survivors from Esau. The Lord has spoken. People from the Negev will occupy the mountains of Esau, and people from the foothills will possess the land of the Philistines. They will occupy the fields of Ephraim and Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. This company of Israelite exiles who are in Canaan will possess the land as far as Zarephath. The exiles from Jerusalem who are in Sepharad will possess the towns of the Negev. Deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. Our Father and God, we're thankful today that you have given to us your word, and we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive it, and that it might take root in our lives, that it might bear the fruit of righteousness. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians. They surrounded the city. They laid siege to it. They broke through the walls. They slaughtered the inhabitants. They tore the temple down. For those few who were able to escape, they fled. Many of them tried to flee to the south. And as they were running from devastation and death, they ran into the clutches of the Edomites. Edom captured them and carried them back to the Babylonians, back to ruin and slavery and devastation. They experienced treachery from their brother. Edom descended from Esau, who was the brother of Jacob, the father of Israel. Though they should be family and care for one another, they were at odds with each other. And Obadiah writes in this context, he has a vision from God to encourage his people who are suffering. In verses 1 to 9, the Lord reminded his people that God judges pride. God brings judgment upon pride. Pride is what gives rise to so many sins, so many wicked acts and deeds. And he said, I will bring judgment upon the proud. And Edom was certainly a proud nation. They thought they were invulnerable and they took great pride in their wealth and in all that they did. And they looked down on Israel and upon others. And God humiliated them because of their pride. In verses 10 to 16, we find that God judges cruelty. The sin of pride in Edom led them to be cruel and malicious, hateful and spiteful. And we learn that God brings judgment upon those who are cruel and wicked toward others. We are called to love our neighbors. We are called to be kind and compassionate. And if we are not, we bring God's judgment upon ourselves. Well, this message is intended to be for the Israelites. It's about Edom, but it was intended for those residents of Jerusalem who were suffering. You know, when you're going through hard times in your life, when you are being attacked and assaulted by the wicked, it's important to remember these promises of God, that God will one day set everything right and everything will be as it should be according to God's plan. And He wants His people to know that He will deliver them. God delivers His people. And here in Obadiah 17 to 21, we find that God does this in three ways. God brings deliverance about in three acts. First of all, God delivers His people by destroying their enemies. Have you ever had an infestation in your home? Bugs or mice, rodents. You ever had an infestation? What did you want to do with that? Did you say, we're just going to make friends with the ants? You know, you start naming them. You know, the roaches, you put up a little hotel and you say, hey, just have it. No, what do? You want to destroy them because they have come. They have invaded your home. They are destroying your home. They are destroying your life. They are making things miserable for you. God wants you to know that those people who come into your life, those people who are proud and cruel and want to destroy you, they are bringing doom and judgment upon themselves. God will deliver you by destroying the enemies of God and His people. The Old Testament is full of examples of the wicked oppressing and slaughtering the innocent and the righteous. We go back and we look in the story of the Old Testament. We see how the Egyptians enslaved the people of God. We see that the Israelites, when they were living in the Promised Land, faced constant harassment by the Moabites and the Philistines. Later on, it was the Babylonians and the Assyrians. And here in Obadiah, it's the Edomites. But it's wicked people who keep assaulting and attacking the people of God. And God says, I'm going to deliver you, my child. I'm going to rescue you from your enemies. I'm going to bring judgment upon them. You're not going to have to learn to have to live with it and put up with it. You know, sometimes you just have to put up with it. Sometimes in this life, it seems like we just have to put up with it. But God says, one day there will be no more enemies to harass you. There will be no one to persecute you. One day, all of those who would torment you will be gone. One of the reasons that God allows wicked and evil nations to attack His people and persist in their persecution is to chastise and discipline us. God has a purpose in all of this. And certainly God had allowed the Babylonians to come in and attack Jerusalem because of their sin and idolatry. And they were an instrument of judgment. But you know, we see that even though God uses these wicked nations and these wicked people to bring discipline to His people, they always go too far. In fact, the prophet Habakkuk lamented this very truth. Habakkuk in his prophecy cried out, how long, O Lord, are you going to let the sin of the Israelites continue? How long will you let them go on in their idolatry? And God said, oh, let me show you, Habakkuk, what I'm going to do. I'm going to send the Babylonians. And then Habakkuk said, Lord, what do you mean you're going to send the Babylonians? Lord, they're more wicked than we are. And God said, it's all part of my plan. God allows sinful people, evil people, to come into our lives to discipline us, to bring us back to Him. But those wicked people, they always go too far. They always act sinfully. And God does not let them go unpunished. He does not let the guilty nations off. He judges the wicked. And His judgment is just and righteous. And He does it every single time through the course of history. This morning, we need to understand that God brings judgment upon wicked nations. And I think we have to be honest. I think we have to be real honest about our own nation. You know, it breaks my heart to say, but I really believe that one day the United States is going to fall under the judgment of God. Because if you look at our land, our sins, they are great and terrible. Throughout our history, how many countless people have we slaughtered? How many thousands, tens of thousands of people have we enslaved? How many people have been oppressed and exploited? How many babies have been murdered? How much perversion have we promoted? I love our land. And God has blessed us. And I think that's what makes it so, so important for us to understand that unless our nation repents, we will face judgment from God. The good news is God offers forgiveness to wicked and sinful nations. The prophet Jonah was sent to Nineveh. They were a horrible, evil people. A wicked people. Jonah didn't want to go to him, but God finally got him there by means of a great fish that vomited him up onto the land. And so Jonah went reluctantly, and Jonah goes to town, and he says, "Hey, all you Ninevites, 40 days, you're toast." That was all he said. God's bringing judgment upon you, Nineveh. And you know what they did? They repented. From the king to the lowest peasant, they ripped their robes, they put sackcloth on, they covered their heads with ashes, and they mourned, they lamented. And what did God do? He heard, and He gave a stay of judgment upon them. When people repent and turn back to the Lord, He brings forgiveness. Whether we think about nations, we think about individuals, if we will repent, God will forgive. But if we don't, God will bring judgment. Even if the nation as a whole does not repent, salvation is still possible for individuals in every nation. When the Israelites marched into the Promised Land, the first city they came to was Jericho. And instead of turning to the Lord, they rebelled and resisted Him. But there was one woman and her family who believed God. Her name was Rahab. And what happens to Rahab? She's saved. She's delivered. She and her family are delivered from judgment. The nation of Moab was hostile to God's people. They were enemies of God's people and continued to persist in persecution against them. But there was a woman who came to faith in the Lord, and she turned to the Lord. Her name was Ruth. And this Moabitess, who was an idolater and an enemy of God, came to worship the one true God because she was introduced to Him through her mother-in-law, Naomi. And she became the grandmother of King David, who would be the forefather of Messiah Jesus. Listen, friends, I want you to understand this morning that God judges wicked nations, and He delivers His people out of the hands of the wicked by bringing them to judgment. He does not let our sin go, but He deals with it. But the good news this morning is that there is no nation in the world who cannot receive the forgiveness of God. In fact, the promise of Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white with palm branches in their hands." From every tribe, every tongue, every nation. God brought judgment upon Edom, but there are Edomites in heaven today. God brought judgment upon Moab, but there are Moabites in heaven. God brought judgment on the Philistines. He destroyed them and wiped them out. They're gone from the pages of history, but there are Philistines in heaven today. God will bring judgment upon atheistic communist nations, but there will be people from those lands who come to faith in Christ. They will be in heaven. God will bring judgment upon Muslim countries, but there will be people who come out of those Muslim lands who believe and trust in Christ as their Savior, and they will be in heaven. And unless our nation repents, He will wipe our nation from the face of the earth, but there will be Americans who are there. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. If you turn to the Lord, there is forgiveness because God loves people. And He doesn't bring judgment out of hatred. He brings it out of justice. And through justice, He sent Jesus to the cross. You see, God deals with our sin in two ways. He either lets us pay for it or He let Jesus pay for it. And Jesus died for all who will believe, all who will trust in Him. It doesn't matter what other people do. It doesn't matter how other people go. Ultimately, it comes down to you and the Lord. What will you do? God delivers His people by bringing judgment upon the wicked. He also delivers His people by establishing their home. When you turn to the Lord in faith and in repentance, when you believe in Him and you trust in Jesus as your Savior, God gives you an eternal home. God gave the promised land to the Israelites, and over time they lost much of it and they never really had it to begin with. But God promised to restore their home to them. You see this in verses 19 and 20. And he describes these geographic places. He talks about the people from the Negev going to the mountains of Esau, the foothills, the land of the Philistines, Ephraim and Samaria. He's describing The north and the south, the east and the west. Esau and Edom was in the south. The Philistines, their land was to the west. Ephraim and Samaria, they were in the north. Gilead, that's to the east. Zarephath refers to the very far north. And the Negev refers to the very far south. And what God is saying is, I have promised you a home and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to drive the enemies away. I'm going to bring judgment upon them. The pestilence is going to be gone and you're going to be safe and you're going to be secure in your forever home. Friends, it's not in this life, but it's in the life to come because God has promised an eternal home for you. One day Jesus is coming back. He's coming back and He's bringing the true promised land. You see, the promised land that was given to the Israelites, it was just a shadow. It was just a reflection of what ultimately God had planned and intended for all of us to have. He gives us a home, a place of safety and security, a place of family, a place of peace. And He promises to give us this eternal, permanent home. Oh, our beloved sister Mildred, she's there now. She's there now. She's been blind for 15 years, but now she can see. She's been in the nursing home for a couple of years, and as cheerful as she was, you know she didn't want to be there. But even if she could move back over here to the south side of town, that wasn't permanent home, but she's home today. Praise God, He has a home for you. Are you going there? Is your heart ready for the eternal home that God has for you? The third way that God brings deliverance, God delivers His people by reigning over the nations. Verse 21, the kingdom will be the Lord's. The kingdom is the Lord's. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God. Not Trump's, not Putin's. Not the drug lords in Mexico, not the gang leaders in Chicago, not the UN, not rogue nations. This world is our God's world. And one day Jesus is coming and His kingdom is forever and ever and it shall be His. God will reign by sending His deliverer. Verse 21 says, deliverers will go up. Throughout the story of the Bible, we find that God has sent many deliverers throughout history. He sent the people Moses. He sent the judges. He sent David. All of these deliverers who would bring temporary relief and temporary reprieve. All of them pointed to the ultimate deliverer, the final deliverer, the perfect deliverer, Jesus Christ, the Messiah and Savior. And God will reign through Jesus and through His church, through His people, all because of the cross. Verse 17, but on Mount Zion will be deliverance. Mount Zion's a reference to Jerusalem. And the particular mount was Calvary, where Jesus established and started His kingdom. And it will be holy. God delivers His people through a moment in time that made them holy. The moment that Christ atoned for our sins. The nations of this world then become a blood-bought inheritance for Christ. And He will redeem all lands and all peoples and all places at all time. We shall be the Lord's. So this morning I want to encourage you to have hope. Don't despair though all the world seem to give way to evil and wickedness. Don't give up. Trust the Lord. Live by faith. And friend, if you are not a Christian here today, I plead with you, repent while you may. Turn to the Lord while you can. And for us Christians, may we pray, let Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we be warned today of judgment to come, but may we take hope in the promise of deliverance through Jesus Christ, who forgives all of our sins and washes away all of our iniquity. Your word says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We pray that our nation would seek You. We pray for Your mercy and for Your kindness. And Father, we pray that You would use us to go and call people to faith and repentance. May we go into the world and proclaim the good news and the gospel so that people may turn and be saved. Father, our hope is that one day Jesus will come. Help us not to grow weary in calling people to faith in Christ. Help us to persist in holiness and righteousness no matter what may come. May we not grow weary in the good that we are to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.